Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Good. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to greet you. The last time I saw myself on video here, I wandered right off screen, apparently. And the guys who are in the techno department up in the top there have organized it that I'm going to stay on screen, which is really lovely for those who are watching online, but I'm going to reframe myself to stay within the step boundaries. So you have permission to come and slap me back inside the reservation if I wander off the reservation. Is that okay? It's lovely to greet you, and we do count it a privilege to be able to come and share ministry with this congregation of believers and certainly to be able to share the Word of God. Kay alluded to the message this morning, and I want to share it with you. It's based on three parts, and that's why there was such a long scripture reading. I believe if the scripture doesn't speak to us, then where is the relevance for the Word of God in our lives today? And there must be. God's Word is alive and living. It related to generations of people that have gone by. It related to the time when Jesus walked the earth. It must relate to us, and I believe that it does. So the message today is if, buts, and maybes. Now I got to tell you, I live in this world of if, buts, and maybes. You know that if only I hadn't run through that red light, I wouldn't have got a speeding ticket. But I did. I have a shirt at home that is called my if, but, and maybe shirt. And I'll tell you the story around this. We went down to Mandurah Shopping Centre. We meet once a month with a friend of ours named Shirley. Kay has coffee and a chat. I do what I do. I go shopping. Now, there's not a lot in Mandurah Shopping Centre that appeals to me, but this particular day, I'm wandering down the middle of Mandurah Forum, and there is Jeans West, and they got shirts, $10. Now, I have a Scottish background, and all of a sudden, there was like this little Scottish man that leaps out inside of me going, you need to get one of those, Darryl. So I went over, and I had a look at these $10 shirts at Jeans West, and I held one up, and I went, oh, this has got me written all over it. It is my color. It suits my eyes. It is my size. I went and tried it on, and I went up to the lady, and I said, this is the one for me. I'm going to get it. She said, oh, you will look so smart in that. I said, I know. I love it when women state the obvious, don't you? And I'm not going into that debate today. So anyhow, I went to pay for it. And as I paid for it, I wasn't paying a lot of attention. And then she gave me the receipt after I paid for it with the credit card. It was $30. And I looked at that, the receipt, and she looked at me and she said, is there something wrong? I said, well, yes, there is. The sign out the front said $10. She said, no, sir. The sign said from $10 from. It was a $30 shirt. If only I'd read the sign, but I didn't. And now I'm faced with a dilemma. Maybe I should give the shirt back and get a $30 credit. But that is so embarrassing, isn't it? It really is. And so I have this if, but, maybe shirt that cost me $30, which I really thought was going to cost me $10. You've lived in that world, haven't you? If I hadn't done this, but I did do that, and maybe I should do something else. Here's a story that has encapsulated in it, if, but, and maybe. And you go, how do you get that out of there? Well, here's the story. Jesus is going from Judea through Galilee. There are three regions. There's Judea in the south, there's Samaria in the middle, and in the north is Galilee. Jesus was going through Samaria. Now, Samaritans over several hundred years who lived in Samaria had become a mixed race of people. Due to the fact that there had been conquest upon conquest, when the Assyrians had come down from the north and captured the 10 tribes in the north, when the Babylonians came and threw the Assyrians out, there had been a lot of intermarriage over all of these centuries. And in the middle of Galilee and Judea sat Samaria, which was a mixed race of Jews. Partly Jewish, partly Assyrian, partly Babylonian. No wonder this conversation this lady has some biblical living God account in it. And so Jesus goes through Samaria and he comes to this village of Sychar and he stops at the well. And as he stops at the well, here is a lady coming out of the village to get water from the well. And as she arrives at the well, Jesus says to her, "Can I have a drink, please?" She was surprised because Jews don't speak to Samaritans. Many of the religious leaders wouldn't even walk through Samaria. They would walk around Samaria to go from Judea to Galilee. Such was their distaste and their dislike for the Samaritans. We understand that. We have that sometimes in our own families. We have that sometimes in our own neighborhood. People we don't get on with for whatever reason. And this was the reason. But Jesus goes into Samaria, which is what Jews didn't do. And certainly it wasn't what a rabbi would do, a teacher. Jesus goes, and there he is at Sychar, and the woman comes to get the well, Jesus asked. And she's surprised, and she says, "Why would you, a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, to get water?" And the conversation about water then evolves into this story, and here's where the first if comes in. "If you knew who you were speaking to," says Jesus, "you would ask for living water." If you knew. If you knew. How many people went and bought gifts for families at Christmas time? You know, and you got this person that's difficult to buy for. Not that they're a difficult person, you just don't know what to get for them. And you ask this question, "I wonder if this is the something they would like. I wonder if it will fit them. I wonder if they'll end up throwing it in the bin. I wonder if I'll waste my money. I wonder if it's on sale." There's so many ifs in just buying a gift. And do you recognize that in the word gift sits two letters in the middle? If. The if in the gift. Here's what Jesus said. "If you knew the gift that God has, if you knew you were who you were talking to." So what is the gift that Jesus is talking about it? Well, it's basically this. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." There it is, the gift. So what's the if in the gift for you and I? What's the if in the gift? How do we receive this gift? Well, it's simple. It's not rocket science. It's this, found in the next part of Romans chapter 6, where it says this: "If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved." There is only one if in the Bible that relates to salvation. I want you to know that beyond a shadow of doubt. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and He died on the cross for your sins, you are saved. It's not if you go to church. It's not if you read your Bible. It's not if you pray. All of those things are important. That's about your spiritual growth. But you can go to church and not believe in Jesus. You can read your Bible and not believe in Jesus. You can even pray and not believe in Jesus. It is if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, you will be saved. It's the only if. Now, your spiritual growth depends upon reading the Bible. Your spiritual growth depends upon prayer. Your spiritual growth depends upon attending church. All those things are about how we grow spiritually. But the only if concerning salvation is if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is God's Son. So that's the first part of the conversation that comes around. "You want me to give you a drink of water?" And Jesus says, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask for living water." She didn't get it. We really don't get it, do we? When we haven't accepted Jesus, we really don't understand what it means to have accepted Jesus and the blessings that come in our lives from accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. When you're outside of the kingdom of God, you don't understand what's happening in the kingdom of God until you come into the kingdom of God, and that's through the if. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. then your eyes are opened. So the conversation goes on, and now we get into the but. You didn't know there was a but in this passage of Scripture. Yeah, it was an if. Now there's a but. So here's the conversation that just goes on a little bit more. And Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who is asking you, and she says to him, sir, I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews. Wow. But you Jews. Do you know, when we use the but, it's really sometimes a derogative statement, okay? I got my good friend Margaret McDonald here. Margaret is a lovely lady, but. Now, you know where that's going to... I'm joking, Margaret. You know where that's going to go? It's going to go down, isn't it? Right? We do that. Oh, he's a great guy, but. You remember when there were some footballers? They were great footballers, but when they didn't do things that they should do on the field, there was this but. He's a great guy on the field, but he can't kick goals for love nor money. Peter Sumich was one of those guys who was just a brilliant full forward for the Eagles. And you didn't need to teach Peter Sumich to lead and get the ball. He was just brilliant the way he broke away from the fullback, led out to the front of the pack and marked. But his percentage of accuracy wasn't as good as what it could be. And the coaches had to work with Peter to make sure that he practiced kicking goals, leading and marking the ball. All of those antics that Peter did were just absolutely brilliant. But he needed to develop his skill set with kicking so that when he got the mark, he would kick the goal. You understand that? And so here's this woman who knows something about God. Hundreds of years of mixed wrong teaching, of the interruption and the interaction of all of that genealogy that happened because of the conquering of the northern tribes. She doesn't understand why the Jews have to worship in Jerusalem and she can worship in Samaria. And so she talks to Jesus. She says, but you Jews. Oh, I wonder, do we do that to God? Do we say things to God? I know God can answer my prayers, but. So we put it up there, God can answer my prayers, but. And I want to say to you, we just get it around the wrong way, don't we? I know that I'm going through this difficult time, but God, who promises to meet my needs according to his riches and glory, who will never leave me or forsake me. You're taking it, this is my situation, but God promises to meet my needs. God promises to hear my prayers. God promises that he will never leave me. But God, I don't know whether I've told you this story, but I'll tell it to you anyway. We were in a conference once, right? This is the amazing presence of God. We're in this conference, and it was one of those teaching conferences that we're at back in the mid-90s, and it was about planting Salvation Army churches, and we went along. There was a visiting American speaker, and as I sat there, there was a love offering on the Friday night, and I just felt God saying to me, it's not an audible voice. Please, I don't want you to think that God has this booming voice that drops into my ears. Something that happens in here. I hear God speaking to me. It's not every day, right? It's not that audible voice inside every day. Sometimes I hear it, sometimes I don't. But this particular time, as we were about to give in the love offering, it was a conference that had been paid for, I really felt God say to me, Darryl, whatever's in your wallet, put in the offering. So I opened my wallet and there was $70. Now, we're about to go on holidays on the next day, right? This is the Friday. We're about to go on holidays on the next day. And I had a little bit extra cash, and I had $70 in my wallet. I just knew that I needed to put that $70 in the offering. I put it straight in the offerings, didn't think any more about it. Got home that night, and Kay went down to the letterbox, brought the mail in. She opened the mail, and she said to me, honey, how much money did you put in the offering? I said, $70. Why? She said, have a look at this. There was a bank check. A bank check. I don't know who it came from. It was for $900. And there was a little note that was clipped to it, typed out. It says this: "Daryl and Kay, this is for you because I love you. Signed, Jesus." Now, I've got to ask you this. God said to me, "Dad, Daryl, whatever's in your wallet, put in the offering. I put it in." Did God go, "Oh, no, Daryl's been really obedient. Get the angels to get a $900 check." No. That check was in the mail, had been posted however long before it took Australia Post to get there, and however long it took somebody to go to the bank and get a check. God spoke to somebody and said, "Give Daryl and Kay $900, and I don't want them to know it comes from you. Make it a bank check." Do you get it? This is the God who says, "I will meet your needs. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And this is the message that Jesus gets to this lady in saying, "I want you to know that when you worship God, it won't be in Jerusalem, it won't be in Samaria, because God is spirit. You will worship him wherever you are, because he will be within your heart." No wonder Jesus said that he is the water of life. So let's get to the last part, shall we? The maybes. Ah, the maybes. Don't you just love the maybes? Now, do you remember when you were young? Ladies, probably more so than me, but I do remember doing this. When I was in primary school, there was a girl called Barbara Anderson. We were in about grade six, and I sat in the same class as her. I think my heart felt something about Barbara Anderson. And I got to say to you, I went out and I got one of those daisies, and I started to pick the petals off it. And if you remember back to your primary school years, the petals go, "She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Maybe she loves me. Maybe she doesn't." I was talking to Kay about this. Can I tell this story? Yes, I'm going to. I was talking to Kay about this, and I said, "Did you do that, honey?" She said, yeah, I did that. I said, "How did it end up for you?" She said, "Not good. It was always, he loves me not." So I said, "What happened? Did you do it with me?" She's 16. She said, "Yes, I did it with you." I said, "What did it end up?" "He loves me." There you go. And now we've been married 49 years this year. I got to tell you. It's the maybes, isn't it? So where's the maybes in the story? Well, we know that the disciples had gone into the village of Sychar to get some food. And they come back to see Jesus, and they've got food for the team, for the group. And they go to Jesus and they say, "We've got some food for you, Master." And he goes, "I don't need any. I've already eaten." And then they have a conversation amongst themselves. Well, how did he get food? Now, the word maybe is not there in that context, but the implication is there. Well, maybe somebody got him some food. Maybe we know food that he got from somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe the woman from the well gave him some food. Maybe. Maybe it's just a lot of speculation, isn't it? I read this story during the week of a guy by the name of, he was an Air Force pilot during the Vietnam War, James Stockdale. In the early stages of the Vietnam War, he was shot down. He was flying off one of those aircraft carriers out of Vietnam. He was shot down. He was taken into captivity, put into the Hanoi Hilton, which was the worst prisoner of war camp in North Vietnam. And he was held as a prisoner, and he was treated terribly in the 7.5 years. 7.5 years in the Hanoi Hilton. He ended up retiring as an admiral within the American Navy. But his time through the Hanoi Hilton was a time where he tells this particular story. "How did you survive?" And here's what he said. "I kept looking to the end, that one day I will be out of here. One day this will all be over. The focus was not on it's going to be next week, it's going to be next year, it's going to be in 2 years, it's going to be one day. And that was enough to keep him focused on surviving in the Hanoi Hilton. And the question was asked of him, what can you tell me about the guys who didn't survive? And his response was, that was easy. They were maybes. Maybe we'll be out of here by Easter. And Easter came and they weren't released. Maybe we'll be out of here by Christmas. And Christmas came and they weren't released. And maybe we'll be out of here by Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving came and they weren't released. And they died. They died of a broken heart. You see, the maybes offer us so much, but they don't deliver. They really don't. Maybe she loves me, maybe she doesn't. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. You know, Paul did not live in a maybe environment. He lived in a maybe world, but his particular environment was not a maybe. It was simply this. And here's the promise I want to leave with you today. We've done the ifs. If you believe in your heart and confess that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. There's no doubt about that. And when you go through a difficult time, yeah, talk to God about your difficult times, but end the conversation with, but God. But you will never leave me. But you hear my prayers and you promise to meet my needs. But you will never fail me. That just keeps your faith buoyant. And Paul, in his prison and his captivity and all that he was going through, knowing that any day he could be killed, not because of anything that he did wrong, but because of his faith. He writes to young Timothy and he says these words to Timothy. And we sung these words. They were put to a song in the Salvation Army in 1883. And it's this, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard that, to keep that which I've entrusted to him for that day. There's no maybe in this. Maybe he will keep it. Maybe he won't. No, I know. I know whom I've believed. And I am convinced that he will keep that which I've entrusted to him unto that day. What day? The day when you and I leave this life. That's the day. The day when this life comes to an end. The day that when we look at what Paul has to say, the day I know who I have believed and he will keep my life which I've given to him. And I will stand before him. That's the promise. Ifs? Oh, they're there. Buts? Oh, they're there. Maybes? They're there in this world in which we live. But I want to give you this foundation. If you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, there's no maybe in that. You've committed your life to him and he will keep that on that day when you stand before him. And in this journey of life, when things don't go as well as what you want, but God. But God will never leave you or forsake you. That's the journey that we're on. It's not a nebulous if, buts, and maybes in our Christian faith. It might be if, buts, and maybes in the world in which we live, but in our faith, it's not. It's sure. It's stable. It's because he loves us and gave his life for us. Let's pray. Father, we pause at this moment in time. And we ask, Lord, you forgive us of the times we've doubted you, the times we've questioned, the times we've wondered where you've been in this journey of life. But when we sit and reflect and we listen to a message like this, we recognize that, God, you've always been there. We want to say thank you for your faithfulness to us. And thank you for the surety that we have of our salvation in Christ Jesus, that one day we will be with you in glory. So in this journey between now and then, Father, keep us faithful. Keep us true to you. Keep us focused. Keep us on fire. Keep us loving you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.